Well, good morning, Miles City. You guys doing all right on this brisk Sunday morning? Welcome to Michigan in wintertime, right? You northerners just love and live for this weather. You all look so excited about it. But we are thankful that you are here today and that the heat works in this building. And we are grateful to be able to come together and to sing some songs to the Lord. For you that are watching online, thank you so much for joining us today as well as we are diving into this series full throttle. And when we think about the Christmas season, there's a lot of things that we can focus on when it comes to Christmas. It's easy to get wrapped up in everything that surrounds Christmas and really forget about what Christmas is about. For instance, the shopping that goes into Christmas. It used to be the in-person shopping, right? If you're my age or older, you remember Black Friday, you'd get up at 3 a.m. to get in line to buy that $1,200 TV that was on sale for $1,150. But now it's the online shopping, or maybe it's the Christmas parties that you got to go to, or the school programs. Thank God that I am past that stage in my life. The meal planning, the cookie baking, the gingerbread houses, the Christmas movies, the Santa visits, the elf on the shelf, the decorating, the parades, the ice skating, the sledding, the traveling. If you're a student, you got finals, you got winter break, you got graduations, your Christmas Eve services, your kids singing in church, and don't forget the family pictures. And the list can go on and on. And for some of us guys, if you're like me, you're sitting there and going, well, my wife takes care of all that. I'm really enjoying the Christmas season. And your wife is like, I don't know what I'm going to do. All right, I'm getting 2 hours of sleep a night to figure this out. But we go full throttle on these things. And so this Christmas, we've decided to go full throttle on the things that matter most. And at Miles City, we have our discipleship track. And we started on this last week. We focused on the moving part. And we talked about those three things to the right, the weekly gathering, and talking about how important it was, the faith moves that we make, and how we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we get baptized to let other people know of that trust that we've put in him. This last week and tomorrow night, we've had baptism stories. I think we have close to 11 to 13 people being baptized next Sunday. So you want to make sure that you're here. What an exciting time to close out the year. And maybe you feel like that's the next move you need to make. We would love to talk to you about what that means for you. And then being able to proclaim our faith, telling other people about Jesus and what he's done for us. And then we dove into the daily encounter and how it's important to spend time with God and to spend time opening his word and to spend time in prayer and how he can speak to us through that. And we did all that through the story of Mary, and we talked about that. And so today we want to look at more of the story of Christmas. In fact, we're going to really look at the most popular and well-used passage, and that's in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at the birth of Christ, and we're going to focus more on the people part of groups and coaching. And at our church, we think that groups are important, and we have different types of groups that we want you to be a part of. Our city groups are groups that meet weekly, and that's 12 to 15 people usually meeting together and going through questions out of the sermon or also maybe a book study, but spending time going through those questions, having community, having fellowship. Then we have coaching groups, such as groups of three of the four of the same gender meeting together every other week. And those groups get together usually at a coffee shop or a restaurant, and they spend an hour just talking about what they've read in the Word of God, praying together, but also the accountability factor comes in and where we can speak into each other's lives and really hold each other accountable. And then our explore groups are great groups that our church offers that sometimes focus on subjects. So for instance, we have a grief share explore group that meets weekly to help those dealing with grief in their life. We've had groups that talk about creation or talk about apologetics, which is how to share your faith with other people and what we believe and why we believe it. Man, those groups are great groups to be a part of. But I do want to give a little disclaimer before I dive into this. The story that we're looking at today is not a small group. It's not a city group or an explore group or a coaching group. This was people that God brought together that formed this community for a small span of time. Okay, groups didn't happen until the book of Acts when the church was formed. Then people would start getting together. So don't, some people, I wrote this message, so I know where I'm trying to go with it, but some people start diving into the weeds of things and like, wait, and the analogy will break down really quick for you if you're like, wait, this wasn't really a small group. I totally agree with you. But there are some similarities that we're going to see in this story of the community that came together for that short amount of time that relate also to what groups can do in our life and why we should have people speaking into our life as well. And when we look at the story of Jesus' birth, sometimes we might think about the manger and the town, maybe even the Star of Bethlehem or the angels. And sometimes we overlook one of the most important parts, and that is the people that are involved in the story. And it makes sense that we miss it sometimes. It's not every day that the Savior of the world is born with a star guiding people to him and a heavenly choir of angels announcing his arrival. But what we need to be reminded of sometimes is that these were real people in real life circumstances. Mary and Joseph didn't go to Bethlehem for a vacation. They went because of the census. Something was required of them, something out of their control. And yet through this out of control circumstance, God was working. And for some of us at Christmas, there might be some out of control circumstances, and Christmas can be such a great time, and there can be so many times that we spend with family and with friends and we enjoy the season, and it just reminds us, but sometimes it can also feel the most disconnected or lonely. Some of us, we might be surrounded, but we might not be supported. We might be busy, but we might not be known. And because of that, we read of this story in Luke 2 and miss one of the most important truths, and that's God builds his work through people. He placed Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem for a purpose. He brought shepherds into their circle. He formed a community around his son, right in the middle of an inconvenient, out of control situation. And maybe what God did in Bethlehem is exactly what we need today, and that's to look again at the people around the story, so we can see how God wants to work through the people around us. To see the importance of surrounding ourselves with the right kind of people. Not to go full throttle in that all that can come with this season and the time of year, but to go full throttle into what God has designed for us to have, and that is community. And that's what every one of us needs, whether we feel it or not. God has created us for community. Way back in Genesis, he looked at Adam and said, it's not good for man to be alone. So the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, what kind of community are we in? What kind of community are we in? Are we allowing people to speak into our lives? Do we have people around us that are willing to lift us up, to do life together, to get in the down and dirty with us? That is a loud ringer. Do we hear the Christmas bells? Do they bring peace on earth? This is a fun day. First service, the kids behind us were so loud at the start, I couldn't even get my thoughts together because we're figuring this whole thing out. So that's good. All right. And if that's yours, I'm so sorry. I'm not even looking up. I don't even want to know who it is because I am not trying to embarrass you. It was kind of funny, to be honest. All right. Because the people around us can shape what God wants to do to us. And so today, as we open up this story, we want to just pause for a moment, and I want you to look at the people that are involved and the community that were formed. And I hope that you see the similarities of what happened here on Christmas Day when Christ was born and what can happen in community and groups that we're a part of. So before we open the Word of God, let's just ask God to speak to our hearts and to let us see this story from a fresh perspective. All right, Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your love for us. And God, we are grateful for all that comes with this season that we get to celebrate your birth. And God, I ask that today in these moments that we would just be able to push the pause button on our life and that we would be able to open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God. And Lord, that you would use it to speak to our hearts. God, we don't want to be up here just telling stories and having a nice talk, Lord. We want to be convicted and encouraged from your word. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would do that to us and through us. God, we're grateful for this opportunity. We ask for those that are here today that don't know you as their Savior, that don't have a personal relationship with you, that today they would see your love for them, that they would understand what that means, And Lord, that they would give their lives and their hearts to you. Lord, we want you to be honored and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, we're in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, we're going to start in verse number 1. It says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Can you imagine the interruption in Mary and Joseph's life that this happened? First of all, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, you see Mary approached by an angel saying, "Hey, you're going to bear the Son of God." And she said, "Well, this is impossible because I'm still a virgin." He said, "Listen, this is what's happening." And then he goes and tells Joseph, "Hey, the lady that you're betrothed to, that you're supposed to be married to, is pregnant, but she's still a virgin, and she's got the Son of God, and so you're going to be that earthly father to the Son of God." Put into that that these were young kids, probably teenagers still. So you got this girl that's just a young girl that's carrying this child of, she's carrying the Son of God. You got this young man that's just trying to figure things out and be obedient. And then they get notification that, hey, you need to go back to where your family is from for this census, because the governor wants to count everybody so that they can make sure that everybody's being taxed properly. So let's go ahead and head that way. And then they get there, and there's no place for them to stay. There's not room anywhere. And there's a lot of speculation on how this worked. Like, were they actually in a barn, or were they just connected to the house? However it was, they didn't have a normal situation. There was a lot of out-of-control situations and interruptions going on in their life. And yet, even through this out-of-control in their life, God was still in control, and God was still at work. And in our life, that happens a lot as well. There are things that happen to us that we have no control over. There are interruptions that come into our life. Maybe it's a diagnosis that we don't have time for, or a job loss that was unplanned. Maybe a marriage that has fallen apart, or a child that has gone off the deep end. Maybe it's a dream that we had for our life that has died unexpectedly. See, we want to call the shots, and we want to be in control. But just like in Mary and Joseph's life, with the crowded inn and the census that was being called for, God can use interruptions to cause community. The financial situation that you're in, the neighborhood that you live in, the job that you're working, God can interrupt all of that to put you where he wants you. And where he wants you is in community with the right kind of people. He created us to be a part of the body, the church, and to do life together. That's why when we look at these 7 mile markers, we're encouraging you to go full throttle on these mile markers. This is our discipleship track for Mile City. This is the things that we think are important, is that these is what needs to happen in your life. We believe Scripture teaches that this is what should be important. When it comes to the people, we think that you should be in a group. You should have community. That's where community happens in our church. That's where the best community happens. When we come on Sundays, this is great to come together as a corporate body. We talked about that last week. It's important for us to worship together. But community happens outside of these walls. In Miles City, God didn't bring you here by accident. He doesn't have you being a part of this church by happenstance. He has you here for a purpose. One of those purposes is that you have community in your life. The challenge, though, is many of us don't think that we need to be part of the community. Some sitting in here are lone wolves. They want to figure it out on their own. Some of you are too busy with all the things of life and have a community elsewhere. Some of you might have community with your school kids' school or ball team or your neighborhood or your coworkers, or maybe even your community is your family. Some might feel like Sunday is enough. Hey, I come on Sunday, that's all I need. But what kind of community does God have for you? What I've seen being in ministry in my life is many times people search out community when interruptions happen to their life. Some of them are good interruptions, some of them are bad interruptions, but it seems like when those things happen, it kind of reminds us like, hey, I need people around me that are going to speak into my life, that are going to encourage me, that are going to hold me accountable, and that are going to push me towards Jesus. Sometimes we get comfortable and we start cruising through life and we forget that these interruptions of life sometimes are God trying to get us our attention to remind us of the importance of community. So my question today is, what interruption might lead you to the people God wants in your life? Listen, stepping into something new is hard. It interrupts. I still remember the first time that we stepped into a group here at Miles City, and we knew one person in that group, and that's Don Wright, which I think he's in here somewhere. And Don is not the most, you think I'm not friendly, you should talk to Don sometime. I told Don, I want to come to your church. He says, well, you can't. And I was like, well, that's kind of rude. And then, you know, like Don, the way that Don does, and if you don't know Don ponders, and he goes, well, the reason is this, and he told me the reason. And then like 10 minutes later, well, you might be able to come to my house, but I need to check with my wife. And so thankfully, his wife is much friendlier than he is. And she said, yes, come on over. And so our first Sunday was a backyard bash at Miles City where we walked into this and knew nobody except Don Wright. And it was hard. And you know me, I'm Mr. Friendly. I just connect with people so well. It went really good. My wife is funny. Like, sometimes on Sunday we'll go out with people, and usually I'm talked out by the time Sunday morning is over. So we'll go to lunch and I'll make her do all the talking. She's like, you're supposed to talk. I'm like, I used all my words. I'm sorry. But that interruption is what got us connected to this church, and this is what God has for us. And I used to be friends with Don, probably not after today, but I still have people that are in that group that I'm still friends with because I met them and I got interrupted in life. And God can use those interruptions to put us in the community that he has for us. And the right people speaking into our life can make us better parents, can make us better kids, can make us better employees, can make us better bosses. So God used the census and the travel and the crowded in to begin to create community in the life of Mary and Joseph. But really, when we look at Mary and Joseph, they're some pretty extraordinary people. They're experiencing some things that most of us probably will never experience in our life. But now we get to the part of the story where there's just some ordinary people. Look at verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2 with me. It says this, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them in heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. What Luke here is showing us is some characteristics of good community. And there's a lot of things that we can see in this passage. The shepherds were simple, overlooked, hardworking people. They weren't the religious leaders or the nobles. They were the outsiders of society. Yet God chose them to be the first to hear the good news of Jesus' birth. But they just weren't ordinary people. They were also accessible people. They were nearby. They were in the community. They weren't some faraway place of people. I think it shows the importance of being in community with people that are close to you, that are doing life with you. They are also responsive to the call of God. It says they went with haste. Travis, in his wisdom, said they went full throttle. They got after it. They did what they were called to do. They were also a diverse community as well. Think about it. You have this young couple, you have the Son of God, and then you have these shepherds. A group of people that would never hang out together. They wouldn't. I think about, as I was writing this message, I think about the city group that I am in, and I'm hanging out with people that probably I would never hang out with outside of it. I have my group, I lead young married, so everybody in my group except one other couple is half my age. Then in my group, I have a couple that is from another country that speak three different languages. Again, people I wouldn't have a lot of contact with outside of the context of community of church. I have a young lady in my group that was raised Muslim that started wondering about Christianity and what it meant, and saw a lady with her Bible open in a coffee shop and walked up to her and said, "Tell me more about that." And that began her journey to coming to Christ. I have a guy from India in my group that came to America when he was 7 or 8, went to college. No, he's 19. He went to college. He met a girl that he was sweet on. She started dating him and then got convicted that he wasn't saved. And so she broke up with him. And he went to her and said, "Well, why don't you tell me about Jesus? Why can't I follow Jesus too?" And ended up sharing the gospel with him, and he got saved, and now they're a part of our church. Now, I look at that group and I look at those people, and these are people that normally I would never come across in life and never hang out with in life. And yet God has brought us together. As I sat in my coaching group on Friday morning, and I sat with these guys, and we're all in different stages and ages of life. One guy just has a brand new baby. Two guys have brand new babies at their home. Another guy has some kids that are a little bit older. I'm sitting there, and my kids are in college and high school. And then I'm sitting next to a guy. Both his daughters are married, and he's a grandfather. And God brings us together, the diversity that happens in our life, because God has a plan for those guys to speak into my life and for me to speak into theirs. God has a plan for my group that I'm hanging out with a bunch of young people that, trust me, they would not hang out with me if I wasn't their group leader. In fact, they don't. It hurts my feelings sometimes. But yet I get encouraged by them when I sit in that group and see what God is doing in their life. And hopefully I can encourage them as well. And God has brought us together. These characteristics that can be true of us as well. And when we jump into these groups, when we're a part of a coaching group or a part of a city group or an explore group, God can use these people not only in our lives, but we can be used by God in their lives. I put this line in here, and Travis called me yesterday. He goes, "What did you mean by this slide?" And here's my slide, and I don't think he'll use it. "You aren't that special. You need community." That doesn't sound like a Travisism. That does sound like something Barry would say. But can I encourage you? You need community. You need to be in a group. You need to have people speaking into your life. And I'll be honest, some of you don't realize, but you need to speak into other people's life. You have experiences and things that have happened in your life that can encourage somebody else. And if you sit outside of a group and don't get a part of that, you are missing out on being a blessing for someone else. It's not just all about us. It's about those that we can affect as well. And so whether you think so or not, I want to strongly encourage you. In a couple weeks, we're going to have Group Sunday. You need to find a group. I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I think everybody in this room should be in some sort of group. You can tell me you want to pray about it, and then you can come to me and say, "Hey, the Holy Spirit told me the same thing." I'll say, "No, duh." Because I have scripture for what groups should look like and what community should look like in our life. That's God's plan for us. Take advantage of it. God's going to do incredible things if you'll just take that step. He'll do incredible things in your life, and you'll get to be a part of doing incredible things in other people's lives because you were willing to step out of that comfort zone. Here's how the passage ends. Look at verse number 17. "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." This community brought together by extraordinary interruptions involving very ordinary people achieved incredible results. Through their willingness and obedience, they lived out the mission of community. The mission of community. God has a plan for our lives and he wants us to be in community, but every community that God calls us to should live out the mission to glorify him. That's what happened. That's what this community resulted in. That's what we want our groups to result in. Is, hey, we want to glorify God through what's happening. There was a couple reaction in this. First of all, it said Mary treasured or pondered these things in her heart. She started growing internally. She took them in and allowed it to change her from the inside out. The shepherds, they responded externally. They went out praising God and letting people know. They were applying what James chapter 1, verse 22 reminds us, says, don't just listen to the word, but also do what it says. Groups and community aren't meant to be a secret club. They're meant to prepare us to live on mission, sharing what we have learned and experienced. There is a time for us to be like Mary and ponder it in our hearts, but there also there needs to be a time where we're like the shepherds telling others what God has done for us. In the Great Commission over in Matthew 28, God calls us to go and make disciples. Hebrews 10 reminds us that we're to spur one another on to love and good deeds by meeting together and encouraging each other. And really, that's what groups do. They encourage actions, they cultivate reflection, and then they send us out to glorify God. So my last question for you today is, what mission does your community encourage you to live for? The people that are speaking into your life, the people that are walking alongside you, the people that you do life together with, what kind of mission are they encouraging you to live out? God might have some people sitting right in these chairs right now that could speak into your life. There might be some people sitting in these chairs that you could speak into their life to encourage them to live out the mission to glorify God in their life. Are we being encouraged internally like Mary, or are we responding like the shepherds telling others to live out what God is doing in us and through us? See, that needs to be the focus of what we do. We need to live out our life to glorify him. And God brought these people together, this unusual group of people in this moment, to form this small community just for a moment in time to go tell others about him. Now, one part of this story that really speaks to my heart and my life is this. When we read this story, as I was reading, it's an interesting group that Jesus went to invite to be a part of his birth. If I were coming and if I were looking at it, I would think that you would invite the religious people, the teachers of the law, and the people that pursued him and all those things, but that's not who Jesus invited. The ones that the Lord invited were the shepherds. They were the outcasts. And there's a lot of different opinions on what these shepherds were. I had people catching me after first service like, hey, did you think about this? And yes, there's a lot of theories out there. Some believe these shepherds were the ones that were raising the sheep to be sacrificed at the temple. That's pretty incredible. One of the things that I read in several commentaries was that the shepherds, because they were the ones that were watching over the flocks and the animals were considered unclean and all this stuff, that they were not allowed to enter into the temple. So think about when they came time to worship God on the Sabbath, they weren't allowed to go with their family to church. They weren't allowed in the building. They weren't allowed in the court of men. They weren't allowed to go have the fellowship and the community that comes with being at the synagogue together, being at the temple and learning hearing what the law is, hearing what the word of God has to say. They were not allowed. They were excluded from that. So I think it's kind of ironic that when the Father sent his Son, the people that he comes to see him are the ones that weren't allowed before. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the good news of Jesus Christ, is he came for all of us. He came for the ordinary people. He came for the people that might never hear about it. He came for everyone, and he wanted that evident right off the bat. And so he calls the shepherds to his birth. He wanted them to understand that, hey, I am the Son of God, and I have come to save the world. He didn't get the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees there for them to go proclaim it. He got the normal, common people that were out in the fields doing the work to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I just saw him. I was in his presence. I can't go into the temple and be in the presence of God, but I stood in the presence of Jesus Almighty. As a baby, I was right there at the manger where he was born. And he did that because he loved them. He wanted them to know he was here for them. And that he was the center of all that went on. He was the center of the gospel. He was the center of that community. When we look at our groups at Miles City, we want Christ to be the center of it. We want to glorify him with what we do. We're not here to have social clubs. We're not here to have dinner clubs. We're not here for you to get to hang out and just feel good about life. We want you to know this is who Jesus is, and this is what he can do for you. And once we know that, we want you to go out and tell others. So today you might look at that and say, hey, I'm one of those people that Jesus came for. I've given my life to Christ. I know who he is in my life. If that's the case, then who are you telling? Who are you letting know? And maybe today you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. That's why he came. He came so that you could know him. So today I'm going to ask us to bow our heads in an attitude of prayer. And if that's your desire, if you sit here today and you say, you know what, I have never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know him as my Savior. Jesus Christ came. Yes, it's great that he was born, but he came so that he could die for us. And he died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. 3 days later, he rose again so that we could have salvation. And so today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, and that's the desire of your heart, can I encourage you to make that decision today? And in the quietness of this moment, you could say something like this, saying, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I confess my sin to you. And I believe, Jesus, that you are God. And that you died for my sins. And that you rose again. And today I lower my pride. And I put my faith and trust in you and only you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And God, we do thank you that you are the one that can save. You are the one that redeems. And God, I just ask that we would understand the importance of why you came. And Lord, that we would surround ourselves with people that are living on mission to glorify you. God, that the people that we're closest to and the people that we allow to speak into our lives would be people that are pushing us towards that mission to help people move towards you. God, encourage us to live with you as the center of our life. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us. We thank you for the Word of God that we can open and learn more about you. God, today, just work in our hearts, work in our lives, that we would be witnesses of what you have done for us to others around us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.